Psalm 16 in your Bibles, if you would. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. I'm going to be reading these 11 verses, and I want to invite you by the end of this service to have memorized with me verse 11. I'm not going to make you memorize all 11 verses, but by the end, we're going to spend a few moments trying to really memorize that last verse. Psalm 16, beginning at verse 1, it's a psalm of David. I'll be reading from the ESV. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord that you are my Lord, and I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot, and the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel, and in the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. And begin to take these words to fill your mind and your heart. Verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Father in heaven, as we come to you through the wonderful work of Jesus Christ, in his name and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill our hearts with the joy of your presence. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Steve, if you go back to verse 1 and 2 for me, that would be much appreciated. Boys and girls, I want you to think about the favorite person you were thinking about coming to see you during Christmas. Moms and dads and everybody else, you can think of this as well. I want you to think of the person you were looking forward to seeing the most at Christmas. And let's say at Christmas, you knew they were coming to your house. The favorite person, you hadn't seen them in a while. And they come to your house on Christmas or maybe the day after, and you're so excited to see them, and they're in the house with you all day, but something kind of funny happens during the whole time you're together. Every time you're in one room, they're in another room. And so for a whole day, they're in the same house with you, but they're never in the same room with you. A matter of fact, it's kind of funny because everything you do that day, you do thinking about them. If their favorite show was, a certain sports show, you watch their favorite show. And you eat their favorite foods that day. But they're never in the same room with you. Now, since it's today, in our technology today, sometimes when they're in the other room, they text you and say hi to you. And you know what? A matter of fact, when they leave a room and you go into that room, they leave you a present in that room. And so you get all these neat things from them, and sometimes you hear some of their words and they tell you some nice things. But at the end of the day, they leave and you never actually saw them face to face the whole day. How would you feel about that? Would your heart feel like full and complete that you got to be with them? no, I mean, but you did all the things they like to do, and you got gifts from them, and they texted you some, and they you even you know they even ever they left gifts for you, but the whole day you were so you couldn't wait to see them, but the whole day they were never in the same room with you. What was the one thing you were really missing? You were missing their presence. You got their words. You got their gifts. You got kind of the things they like to do. But the whole time, you know the one thing you didn't get? You didn't get their presence. You didn't get them looking at you face to face. You didn't see that way they smile, or you didn't get to hear the way they laugh. You didn't get to, you know, when they kind of, when they do that funny thing that you always like, that you never get to see, never when they say they love you, you don't get to feel a hug or see in their eyes that they love you. It just wouldn't be full. It wouldn't be complete. It wouldn't be everything you wanted it to be if they came and they were in your house, but they never, their presence was never with you. Well, David, in this psalm, David's feeling the same way about God. He's looking at his life, King David, he's looking at his life, and he's thinking, you know what means the most to me? What means the most to me is not that God gives me things, and not that God tells me things in the Bible. I mean, this is really important, but it's not just that he tells me things, and it's not that I just do the things he likes to do. David is saying, you know what I really want? You know what is really important to me? God's presence. I don't want to just be in the same world that he's in. I don't even want to be in the same just building and not see him. What I really want to do with God is I want to see God. And I want to know God. And I want to be close to God. That's what David is saying in this psalm. He's saying that the most important thing to him is God's presence. And I think, boys and girls, and for all the rest of us, I think that's really important to remember. I think sometimes, as Christians, we can be so excited about the things he gives us, and some of the things he tells us, and doing things the way he likes to do them, but we're not with him. David looks at, in chapter 16, in this psalm, he says in verse 1 and 2, he says he's thinking about his life and what he needs. He's thinking about what he needs because he says, preserve me, O God, for I take refuge. He's thinking about what he needs in life. And he says, you know what? I've thought about it, and here's what I think, God. You're my master. You're my Lord. I do everything. You're my authority. I follow you. And because I follow you and because I know you, there's nothing good in my life that's apart from you. If I've got something good in my life, it's because I'm close to you. And what he does, and we'll get to that at the end, the verse we're going to memorize this morning, is he says at the end of it, he says, it's all about your presence. If I don't have you, I don't have anything good. Now, if you're a Bible scholar, you know that probably the two themes of the entire Bible are what? Covenant and kingdom. The idea of it's the one message throughout is covenant kingdom, and where does it all come to? Jesus. But I want to submit to you this morning that there's another theme that pervades the whole Bible, and it's actually as significant, and actually you could almost argue it is the theme of the Bible, and it's presence. The whole Bible is God's presence, God wanting to be with people. And the whole Bible is a story about people who are far from his presence. How does that go? Not so good. People who are close to his presence, how does that go? Really good. The whole Bible tells a story about God's presence. And it's not just about God's presence, like God is in the same house but never in the same room with us. It's the story about God wanting to be so close to us that nothing separates us from the love we just sang about. That's the story of the Bible. And so it starts off with Adam and Eve getting to be with God in the cool of the evening, walking in the garden, and it goes to what happens. Sin separates them from God's presence. And then we have things like the tabernacle in the wilderness where God begins to dwell again in a way that is, there's so much between them, but he's with them. We read stories about a Joseph, and the only good thing about going on in Joseph's life is, and the Lord is with Joseph, even in the midst of all he's going. It's about presence. We get to the temple, and here is God's people and God's nation, and there is God in its midst. And then we get to Jesus, who's Emmanuel, who's what? The presence of God with us. And all he does, and then when he gives his life, he doesn't just stay away from us. He sends what? The Holy Spirit to be what? God with us all the time. And a matter of fact, he's not just with us a little bit. We can be baptized in his presence. We can have a fullness. And actually, his presence can overflow our lives into everything we do and into a world that desperately needs his presence. And the whole story ends how? With revelations, with who's with who? God's with us. And there's no more tears, and there's no more pain, and the old order of things passed away. And God himself, his presence is the light that fills everything. The Bible is about presence. And David, Mr. Uneducated Shepherd, never studied in the seminary and never written a, you know, well, I guess he did write a book. He wrote a few psalms and, yeah. He gets it. It's all about being with you. Church family, have we forgotten that? Have we forgotten that it's all about his presence? That it's all about, everything is about his presence. Because even David will say, you know what? Outside your presence, I don't have any good thing. What he does in the next few verses is he actually lists the good things he has in life. And he says, yep, that's because of you. Yeah, that's because of you too. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's you. So what does he do? He goes to verse 3 and 4. And what does he talk about in verse 3 and 4 but relationships? And you know what? David recognizes, I don't have a good relationship that isn't from the presence of God. What he says is, well, who does he start talking about? He talks about the saints. He said, here are these people who have been set apart, like I've been set apart, and they're my delight. They're my friends. They're the people that bring me joy in life. And those people, boy, who don't know him, those relationships, those aren't my delight. They're not close to me. They don't influence me. David will say plenty of other places how he hopes those who break the law will come to know God. So it's not that he's cold towards them, but he's like, oh, you know, those people, their names and what they follow, they're not my lips. You and I as a church family need to remember that the presence of God is the only way to good relationships. Now, you and I have some relationships that we're stuck with, whether they're good or bad. Do you want them to be good? Press into the presence of God. Do you have relationships that you get to choose, like who you're going to date, who you're going to marry, who you're going to be influenced by? Make sure the presence of God is what is dictating those relationships. If you've ever been in a place, if you've ever been in a place where someone walked in and you were talking to someone else and they're like, oh, sorry, I thought you were alone. And they kind of change because you're talking to someone else. That person's presence changes how they come to you. They didn't realize you were, oh, I didn't realize, sorry, or they don't say certain things because someone else is in the room. That's how people should treat you when God's presence is with you. They should walk to you, oh, hey, I didn't know you were with him. I'll refrain from that one complaint I was going to make or that one cynicism or that. The presence of God should be molding your relationships. Now, I can't convince you that outside the presence of God there are no good relationships because you've already made your decisions what you want in life. So I'm not going to pretend like I can convince you. I'm just going to tell you that time will prove to you that the only good relationships you have in life are the ones that are compatible with his presence. You can believe whatever you want, and you can choose whatever you want. You can believe you're an exception to that. But I'm telling you what, time will prove that the only good relationships you have in life are the ones that love the presence of God. Can I get an amen for that? Now, what we tend to do, and here's the mistake we make as Christians, we tend to make the mistake of substituting culture for presence. So as parents, our big thing is put our kids in Christian culture. Now, Christian culture, yeah, I mean, it could help, but it can't substitute for the presence of God. The presence of God is what's going to help you have good relationships. It's not the youth group culture. It's not the church culture. It's not K-Love. It's not, you know, I don't know what your culture, Christian culture is. You can be in a culture and find plenty of bad relationships. It's not a culture that keeps your relationships good. It's the presence of God that keeps your relationships good. So you have to, as a person, say, God, I'm thankful that I'm not in a bad culture that's influencing me the wrong way, but good or bad, a culture by itself can't lead me in right relationships. Only your presence can. Help me love your presence. Second, in verses 5 and 6, David says, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. You know what David has that he recognizes good in his life? It's his future. It's like, I've got a good future. Why? Because of the presence of God. You see, I've chosen him. He's my chosen portion. He's my, the one, you know, out of all the cuts of steak I can choose. I choose, like, the one. All right, like, that's my chosen portion right there. That's my favorite. It says, out of everything I do in life, God's presence is what I choose. And because of that, the lines, this is inheritance language. This is like, where's your plot of land in Israel language. It's like, wow, that really worked out well for me. I got a good deal on that. And David says, my future is good because of his presence. Because that's what I choose. That's what I drink in my life, is his presence. Now, what you and I are tempted to do is we're tempted to substitute God's principles for his presence. So we think, well, I'll just follow God's principles. I won't be close to God. I won't be in the same room with him. I won't look him in the eye. I won't feel him heart to heart. But I'll just follow his principles. Because I just follow his principles, I'll be fine. Well, I don't know if you've ever noticed this in Christianity, but people have a really interesting way of taking Bible verses to choose to do whatever in the world they want to do. Yeah, am I the only one who's noticed that? Yeah, there are people who just want to do what they want to do and have the attitudes they want to have and have the agendas they want to have, and they go out and they find Bible verses all the time to back them up. You see, Bible verses by themselves can't transform our future and guard us in doing what's right. Bible verses are so important. We need it. We need the Word of God, and I'm hoping each of you will rededicate yourself to the Word of God this new year. We're going to read the book of Acts, day one, Acts 1, starting January 1. I want to invite you to read with us as we believe for greater things. But you know what? By itself, outside of God's presence, you can have a really awful life, and you can have lots of principles. God can be texting you all the time. Doesn't mean you're with him. I could say a lot there, but I'm going to move on. All right. Then David says this, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Boy, isn't that a relevant word for all of us who are stuck on media and can't go to sleep without watching shows and da-da-da and da-da-da. This is always challenging. Like, can God just instruct me at night? I have set the Lord always before me. What is he? I have set the Lord, his presence is always before me. What does he say? Because of that, because he's at my right hand, he's my strength. Right hand is a just expression for my strength. I shall not be shaken. His presence gives me good character. I have good character. Really, the other word I really wanted to use here is maturity. I have good maturity in life because his presence is what I hold on to. It's my strength. I'm not shaken. Big circumstance, not bigger than the one who's always before me, so I'm not shaken. Do I have setbacks in life? Yeah, not bigger than the one that I'm always with. His presence gives me the ability to have peace about my future, but it also gives me perspective to say, okay, some people would overreact to that. Some people would overworry about that. Everybody would say, everybody else would get a spirit of fear about that, and the worst way you can make a decision is by making a decision being afraid. Always the worst decision. No, you know what? I make my decisions. The presence of God instructs me. It gives me counsel. It shows me what I should be about. Now, you and I, we tend to substitute ritual for presence. We do things again and again. Ritual can be a blessing, can be a grace. It can remind us of what to go to. But ritual by itself is what? Ritual. It's lifeless. It doesn't have anything in and of itself. I can choose to read the Bible while I eat my Cheerios in the morning and run through it and then read the newspaper just like I read the Bible and then read my Twitter feed just like I read the Bible. And I can do all of that. And I did a ritual for God, but I didn't encounter his presence. And so the ritual has not helped me instruct my heart, prepare my heart, give me the character I need for what I need to do in my day. It's not ritual, it's his presence that the ritual is supposed to lead me to. So I can't substitute ritual for presence. It won't give me good character just because I do rituals. And then finally, he says, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices and my flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Corruption meaning you won't let darkness get between me and you. I'll be this close. Nothing will corrupt our relationship. Good health. Body, soul, and spirit comes from the presence of God. I mean, that's what David says. He says, my heart, my emotions, the way I'm thinking, all those things. Actually, in the original Hebrew, it is kidneys. So in the Hebrew, it was kidneys were the source of emotion. So praise the Lord, your kidneys are rejoicing this morning. My whole being rejoices. All that I am is rejoicing because God's presence keeps me healthy in life. And my flesh dwells secure. I'm not concerned spiritually. My soul is not worried about what's going to happen when I die because I know you. I already know you now. I'll know you then. It's all good. I wrote a letter to my daughter Rachel for her 19th birthday. She shares Jesus' birthday on Christmas Day, if you didn't know that. And I said, Rachel, I said, don't worry about being quote-unquote successful. Just worry about being healthy. You stay healthy, and I talked about spiritually, emotionally, relationally, you'll be successful. Don't chase success. Chase health. And where does good health come from? The presence of God. And so David finishes up, and here's our memory verse for the day, boys and girls, and older boys and girls. I want you to start thinking about this right now. I want you to start memorizing this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, our pleasures forevermore. Everything that's going to please and bring joy, everything in my life, it's in your presence. You've made known to me the path of life. Jesus would say, narrow's the path of life. Not everybody knows it. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. But David's saying, no, your presence, I know the right path. I know which way to go. In your presence, fullness of joy. You weren't in the house with me, and I got a text from you and a gift from you, and I watched the things you watch. I listened to the things you like to listen to. No, I was with you, and my heart got full by being with you. And all those songs we sang this morning about his presence and his love, they weren't just emotional thoughts. They were the truth. They were the reality of God who loves me, and I know it. And everything that's pleasing, in the forevermore sense, not in the right now, I want sense. It's all in him. All right. Read it with me. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the part where you close your eyes and you see if you know the verse. Go. No, you're looking at me. Close your eyes. Do you know the verse? You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. All right. Tell somebody near you that verse right now. Go for it. Look around. Find someone. Find someone. You got it? All right. All right, the verse ain't that long, even in the Amplified. Cut it out. Bring it back. Okay. Hey, first of all, can we give all the boys and girls in the sanctuary a big, you were terrific during the service. Let's finish up singing one more worship song, but let's not have it as a ritual. Let's not have it as, well, that's my culture, so I sing these songs. Let's not just see them as a big old text on the screen about something we need to remember. Let's take a moment and say, God, you have made known to me the paths of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. All I want in life is your presence. Would you stand? Pastor Brad is going to lead us in this worship.
Standing.